Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Adventures of an Everyday Goddess, Living an Extraordinary Life. And I am with the most amazing goddess, Enid. And we're going to share a little bit about how Enid created her blog and her spiritual alignment and why she feels it's so important to stay connected on a spiritual level when you're building anything, including your brand.
Yes. Hi, guys. I'm Enid at the Evie Social. I think that just being true to who you are and being authentic with yourself is the most important thing. And I feel that the tides are definitely turning and there's definitely this huge women empowerment that's going on. And I've worked in a male-dominated environment my entire life, and I felt like I was still surrounded by the few women that were there were really, really kick-ass and are amazing and were inspirational, but I felt like we didn't have a big voice. And I feel like that was a pretty uniform theme, and I think that now women have much more of a platform and a bigger voice, but I feel that the one thing that might still be keeping us down as women is that we're still kind of falling into these societal norms. And that is something that is still on a lag. So while women are kick-ass and they are CEOs and they're still picking up a lot of the slack at home and they're still taking on more of these traditional gender roles when a lot of that probably should be delegated. And I have a few friends who are CEOs and their husbands are stay-at-home dads. And I feel like that situation, like that's like really kick-ass because I feel like it's the a lot of the traditional aspect of the familial life that is still kind of keeping us, you know, kind of down.
So do you think that is maybe part of why you see women, especially I think in the past 10 years, have taken on more of an aggressive role where they feel like they have to dominate everything in order to kind of balance, right? Yeah. Everything else. And because I know for me, I've noticed that over the past 10 years, I feel that women have become a little bit more of that alpha pit bull and not necessarily an alpha dog. Follow me, like I can delegate this out and be good at delegating it out.
So it's a really interesting point. I feel like it's just what women have felt like they had to do. I definitely felt like I had to be a little bit more of the pit bull because I wouldn't have gotten my point across otherwise, because I did wear short skirts and I dressed cute, and so the men around me, you know, basically made me feel like I had to kick their ass in a sense to gain that even playing field. So whether it's something that we create in our minds or something that still exists in today's society, I'm not sure, and that, you know, could be changing, could still be on a lag. I just feel like women put a lot of pressure on themselves to be amazing in all facets, and I think that it's finding that balance. Meanwhile, I feel like it's a lot easier for men because they don't take, and I'm not saying all, but a lot of them don't take as active of a role in all the different aspects of life.
So we had this whole Me Too thing going on right now.
Yeah.
And one of the key aspects I thought that got overpassed early on was this Me Too from women to women, right? So we've talked a little bit, we've been touching on about how this male-female role gets balanced, but there is this little bit of this over-dominating from women, I think,
to other women.
Women to other women, where they feel a need to step on each other.
Do you feel like a community over competition kind of a thing?
Yes.
So I totally feel you on that. I feel like I'm a very alpha female, and I definitely, I think I've always kind of felt that in my relationship with other women, where with other alpha females, there's kind of like, you know, who's the head alpha, or who, there's kind of always a little bit of that friction, and I feel like it's just a question of how you navigate around that. And I think that remaining cognizant of that and kind of, you know, I think it's feasible and I think it's normal. And I feel like that is like kind of the one way that I feel like men have the upper hand. They're really good at keeping things really cool, even though they're all alphas. And I feel like that is one area that us females, we need to really step up our game and figure out a way to not be competitive. But honestly, I feel like for so long, if you look at how society has evolved, I mean, women are supposed to sit there and look pretty, and, you know, obviously we're much more than that, but it's hard to break down hundreds and thousands and millions of years in a generation or in two generations. So I feel like there's going to constantly be lags, and that's normal, but I feel like the more mindful you are of that and the more cognizant you are and kind of, you know, if you're, I feel like self-awareness is huge, and I feel like, at least for myself, I practice a lot of self-awareness, and I think that I've lived in kind of my own shattered reality for a long time, and I feel like now that I have this new career, I'm able to see things for what they are and not for what I maybe wanted them to be. And I feel like that's what I work through a lot with my clients, and kind of really, sometimes as painful as it is, to really dissect where they are in their business and where they want to be. And sometimes that's a hard thing to go through, because if you're not where you want to be, it's sometimes a really difficult thing to sit down there with the numbers, because you know your business inside and out, but the numbers are just not making sense. And so I think that, you know, just being honest with yourself and how that relates to your business, that's not easy, because people, obviously, entrepreneurs are very emotionally connected.
So it's funny. So you have two boys and a girl.
Yes.
And you're a brand consultant, and it's amazing, because I know your work, and you're brilliant. But you get to work with both male and female.
100%.
So do you see yourself then at home as a mom, seeing it transform, like, or kind of spilling over a little bit where, like, I know for myself, as a mother, as a son, I found myself being very protective of him, because I saw women kind of as a tiger mom kind of situation. Like, I found myself very helicoptery at one point, protecting him a little bit of...
It's funny, because my son is super cute and he's very sensitive, and my oldest, not that they're both not cute, I'm just saying he's the one that's in school. There's this one girl in particular who is very aggressive, and she's adorable and she's lovely, but you know, he would complain about her and almost didn't want to go to school for a little bit of time, because he's just not used to her being so aggressive, because I think my mom was such a tiger mom on me that I am totally like, I turned into like the chill mom. Like, I'm like a really cool mom. I mean, I get OCD and like, I get stressed out, but like, I think my parenting style is really a lot more laid back than my type A way would probably, only because I'm trying not to be so helicoptered, because I knew how that didn't work out for my parents. So I think that I've like, you know, I kind of let him be his own little person and kind of, you know, figure it out on his own. I feel like he does a really good job.
So how do you balance that out? Because you have a very dynamic, very powerful little girl. So there's two boys, and I know them really, love being with them, by the way. But I can imagine that's got to be a crazy balance, because she is so dynamic, and there is an, so how do you balance that out? Because here you are kind of going into this new realm of your world, right? And entering in as a single, like,
so, I mean,
alpha.
The first time that I met you, you knew every single thing about Logan, and it was like almost like scary, because I met you and within 5 minutes you like told me so much about like my family dynamic, my kids, and I was just like, wow, this lady's the real deal. Like,
that's
so good. Really taken away. But no, I mean, Logan's a powerhouse, and I feel like she's like kind of like too smart for her own good, and she's super, super sensitive, and I feel like that kind of puts her in her place a little bit, because she needs that. I feel like she I don't know. She's going to be one to watch. But
for sure. I have to say, for sure, guys.
She's a powerhouse. But no, I mean, it's amazing. Women, not to say that, you know, that there's a difference between men and women. Obviously, there's a difference between men and women. But I just feel like with Logan, I forget that she's three and I treat her not even like a five-year-old. I probably treat her like a seven-year-old.
It's funny. I watched the dynamics the other day over the little blocks. And it was wonderful to watch you be in the role of a mother and delegate it out. Because I think a lot of times we're unable to separate, right, from business. We get home and we're kind of still on our iPads and on our phones and we're still in that mode and we kind of do parent that way a lot. And I think that's a big part of what's happening in society today that I'd like to see change. But watching you, you really got down on your knees and you were eye to eye with both kids as they were fighting, and you really played it out quite well, I have to be honest with you, where both of them, I mean, Jack was funny because he was just laughing at you in the
like, what is going on?
He's like, I'm in the high chair. These guys are great. This is better than cartoons. But you really, you diffused the situation and you didn't let either child feel like either one of them were wrong or right.
Right.
Which I thought was great. So I wonder how much of do you see maybe that what the role you have outside maybe does play into your parenting?
Yes, 100%. I also feel that I'm an only child, but I grew up with my best friend, and she is one of six. So I was around her family dynamic, and I really understood how their, you know, some families have favorites and how that shapes the other children. And so obviously this was, you know, I wasn't actually studying them, but I, you know, I got to know and grew up with their family for, you know, 10, 15 years. And it was just interesting to see that all play out. And I guess subconsciously I just try to make it a point to, you know, not replicate that.
So do you think since becoming a parent,
yeah,
your business and how you handle your clients has changed as vice versa? So you were really wonderful at delegating that day, and I watched you. It really was beautiful to watch,
yeah,
because both children really didn't feel slighted in any way. They were a little angry. There was a little, like, right, anger going on. But there was a really, it was a funny moment where Brady was kind of like, I don't know where her ice pop is. Like, I'm going to go find it. What is it? I'm sorry.
We all got to help each other out here.
We're going to break this down. Do you think that that has changed you now in your new role, in your blog, and as a brand consultant?
I think so. But I think that I've always kind of had this element of fairness, and I think that I've always dealt with business situations in that fashion. So maybe it's the reverse. Maybe it's how I've dealt with my business life that has shaped me in some ways as a parent.
That's really cool.
I've kind of taken a lot of what I've learned from being a businesswoman, and I've implemented that however it has been able to be implemented into my...
I think that's fabulous, because when we talk about the spiritual connection, right?
Yeah.
There is really no division. Like, as you ascend and you start to tap into energies higher, the
right,
higher vibration, there really isn't a compartment that says your mom, your boss,
right,
your this. It really is kind of what we talk about, altruistic, straight across. It's a give and receive.
Right.
And I loved hearing just now, hearing,
yeah,
that. That was very, like,
on point. I feel like people have different dimensions, and, you know, you see different levels or different, you know, but there doesn't necessarily need to be this huge disconnect. I don't ever think that I'm, you know, or much to my parents' chagrin or dismay, I'm kind of always the same person no matter the environment.
That's right.
And I just feel like that, you know, you don't have to necessarily be bad cop because you're a parent, or you don't have to be, you know, so serious in business all the time. Like, if that's just not your personality type, you can integrate, you know, threads of who you are to just kind of, I think, remaining. I really make fun of one of my best friends, and I'm not going to name names if she ever hears this podcast. It's a joke, but I don't know if she's a very private person. She wouldn't want this out there. But she had these two personas, and it was the shortened version of her name, and that was her business side. And then, you know, after work, it really was like a Jekyll and Hyde situation, not a good and a bad, but just two very different personalities. And it worked for her, so and it's not that she's any less authentic, but that's just how she compartmentalized it, and that's how she was, that's how she just got things done.
I could totally understand that, because my aunt, who came from the Lower East Side, so as my family started to migrate, I called the migration up, right? So in London, my aunt would change her voice, and she would be, "Hello, Tom," and then she'd be back on Mottenhausen Street, she'd be like, "Hello, Tom," and I'd be like,
right, like what were these different people? Right.
But they were all the same person. It was just that she changed her persona a little bit, her character, her mask to meet it.
Yeah.
So it's funny that you see that. That's awesome.
Right. So yeah, we call it like pinstripe, and then her name or whatever. And then even now she'll be like, "I'm heading into a meeting. I'm like, got your pinstripe pants on?" She's like, "Yes." Figuratively, I do.
It's funny because she still does it. Our friend was Tom Sumo, and she would always talk, "Hello, Tom, hello, Tom," and we would laugh because we didn't even know when she was on
like,
the phone.
When did you get British?
That's what we were saying. Like, where's that accent? Where'd it go? And then she'd hang up the phone, she'd be like, "Motherfucker, what are you doing?"
Yeah, and it's totally something that's, yeah, subconscious, and it's just, but it's how people process. I think for me, it's just easier. Just kind of, be one person.
It's funny because knowing you on all ends now, you really are pretty much, I call it flatlining, which I think is great. I'd rather be a flatliner.
Right.
If that means dead in some way.
You always know what you're getting with me, unless I'm drinking gin. And then you will see a Jekyll and Hyde.
But that's it.
So don't worry, guys. I've been off the gin for like 15 years. I love my gin and tonic, if they don't love me back. But yeah, outside of that, like, I think that, you get what you pay for with me, and I think that, there's a certain comfort in that. But I think it's just, and we went off on a tangent, but yeah, I think that you don't need to necessarily, I think you need to change to improve, but you don't necessarily need to be different people for different roles that you play in your life.
So do you think that, because again, knowing you, that you are so spiritually awake and aware and connected, you really are mindful. And I always tease because I'm so much older than you. I'm 108.
Oh, please.
That you really are. That I see you and I realize how really awake you really are, and that you really are connected to this higher realm. And it's not just holding the crystals or being connected to herbalism, whatever. Like, you really do understand
energy.
It.
Yeah. Just, right. I mean, and it's so obvious. Like, it's just so obvious to me when there's, like, an energy shift or, when I can feel and get anxious over somebody's bad energy, like, right when I'm moving, they don't even say anything to me. I can feel the energy. And sometimes it'll change my mood as I react to it, and then sometimes I'm more aware, more mindful, and so I'm not as reactive to it, and I just kind of let it play out. It kind of depends also on how I'm feeling or my mood. I'm human too. I think I think I've always, and my best friend Lise from growing up, like, he can testify to this. I've always been kind of a hippie, so I've always kind of had that, just weirdly, into, and then, I've always just been a kind of a spiritual person.
So how do you, for your contemporaries that are coming up right now, and you are, and there are contemporaries for you, that are really struggling, because there is a big struggle happening, there's a strange out of balance of energy where, especially in what we call the white picket fence communities, that are struggling more than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah,
between opiate addictions and suicide.
Literally in an opiate crisis.
Opiate crisis. And, well, 213 shootings, they're all in white picket fence communities, all from white picket fence boys. So what would you share with a woman, your contemporary, right now, that is got to balance being someone who works in an urban environment, which you do, and you're global, which is so beautiful, but...
So, open your eyes. I think that people see that their kids are not communicating, and that I think that there's a part that kind of maybe know, but you don't challenge. People don't have relationships anymore. Everybody's behind a screen. I mean, like, 5-year-old is behind a screen. I have to force him to have conversations with me. It starts that young. I think that really, I don't know, I think that these white picket fence lands, it's really dangerous. It's really, really dangerous. It seems beautiful and perfect, but there's, you know, there's just so much, there's like a seedy underbelly of it. And, you know, I think that people are just not, they're just not in tune. They're not in tune with their kids. I think that they just set it and forget it. I moved to the suburbs. What trouble could they get into here? Much more trouble than anywhere else, really. And that's, you know, maybe that's a shift.
So what would you offer as a piece of advice? Because you are an amazing brand consultant, so you have all these women, and I'm grateful, but I'm one of them, right? That are really kind of looking at their lives, and they're saying, well, I really kind of do want to stay home, but yet I am a money maker. I don't want to lose that part of me, because that really is a real personality or a real characteristic of my personality. What would you offer them?
I would offer them, for me, it was moving to the suburbs. I probably would not be this aggressively launching my brand if I had stayed in the city, because I had culture, I had theater, I had everything. I felt that charge constantly. I feel like women need to, and it doesn't, let's say money is no object, I feel like in order to feel validated as a human being, you have to have something going on. Even if it's you love accessorizing, like start like making belts or anything. You have to be passionate about something, and that could be like a little side business. You know, you love throwing parties, do a little bespoke party planning, just something. I mean, I feel like it really does take the emphasis in a bad way off of your kids, so that you don't have to helicopter and actually become somebody that values them, instead of like they don't become your project. You can see them for like the human beings that they are, and you can kind of respect them and be respected by them. You know?
I think it's beautiful what you just said, because I think that's a big part of what's happening and what I've seen, you know, in the 40 years that I'm studying, that we do have, especially moms, more than men, because I guess there was always that situation where they were going off to work and they would come home and that 5 or 10 minutes that they have
to
share.
Have you seen Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway?
No.
You have to see it, because it's very topical for what we're talking about right now. And just like more to our conversation that we were having before, you've got to go see it, because, yeah, I mean, it's just the social media age, and it's this, I won't tell you too much about it, but yeah, I mean, exactly what we're talking about. It was so moving, and it was so, like, it was very, very, very profound for me, because it really, you know, there's a single mother in the play, and then there's a family, and in both situations, the kids were messed up, you know? Because in both situations, one situation the mother was working, so she just physically didn't have enough face time with the son. And in the other situation, the parents had zero relationship, and so the child was
lost in the mix.
Right. So, I mean, you know, there's no perfect answer. I think that you just need to be present. I think that's the main thing.
I think what you just said, being present, and I think being present healthy, right? Like that, you know, because there are present and absentee present. I'm here.
Right.
Right? And my podcast yesterday was about, I'm sorry, I don't get leaving your kid in the back seat. There's 8 deaths this year alone. It's not even summer, from heat stroke, leaving your kid in the back seat.
You even leave a turtle in the back
seat. I don't get that. And that Jeff Rosser was like, put your shoe in the back seat. So when you get out, you know your shoe's off.
Boy,
so you look. I don't get said that.
No, no, no.
But be present. Yeah. Like, be present. That way, if you have 5 minutes to be present,
take those 5 minutes.
Right. Those 5 minutes count. Like, and I saw that with you. Truthfully, I really did see that with you. Like, you and I were talking about, you had these moments where you were like, I'm present. This is it. Eye to eye. I got it. And even though you might have had to shift out, you know, those 5 minutes mean more than an hour of you driving in the car on a cell phone and a kid on an iPad. And that's the truth, you know. And I always used to say my favorite time with my son was in the car.
Yeah.
Because that's when we talk the most.
Honestly, you learn so much about them because they just say such random things, and they'll look at something and it'll trigger all of these other things, and when they start telling you these stories, I honestly feel, yeah, like it's just these random times when I'm with Ruby, and he's kind of a very, like, he's just like his dad, he's kind of very reserved, and he keeps a lot of things, like, to himself, and then okay, randomly, he'll just have this random moment, and then it'll come to school, and I'll back to all this other stuff, and I'm like, awesome.
It was really cute because the day that I was over at your house, he was very funny because we were playing with the crystals, and he just looked outside and he said, I don't like gray days. And I went, oh, he goes, I don't like rainy days, I don't like gray days, I only like sunny days, and it's not because I just want to be on the beach. Like, he's like, in his little mind, he knew, like, in those moments. But it was just about that the sunlight meant something to him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for me, it shows your parenting, your parents, how involved you all are, that he doesn't get lost in a fantasy, that it really is
real.
Yeah,
it's like Kindle.
Yeah. So, I'm a big fan of yours, so that's an honest truth.
Me as well.
So, this was an amazing afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome.
We had fun at the Soho House.
So much fun.
So much fun. So we'll check each other out.
The summer.
God knows what we'll be up to next, my friend.
Can't wait.
Maybe it'll be a helicopter.
Yeah, probably.
I hope somewhere fun. All right, everyone. We love you. Namaste.
Bye, guys. Right, I'm going to go to the bathroom.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.